Hey, welcome to Larry Reed's America. This is the whiskey version, and we're not in New Orleans, but we are in Ball's Town, Indiana. So our guests, our co-hosts, I should say, we have Steve Ollier, Greg Dierberg, Mike Spreckelson. We have already done some tasting off air, and we're going to ask each guy what he thought of the whiskey. They're grading them, and then I'll reveal what I did the same tasting before we came here tonight. So anyway, let's start with Steve.
All right.
With number one.
Well, number one, I thought it was just a bit light on the appearance. I gave it a 7, you know. On the nose, I got ripe cherries, ripe plums, a hint of cedar and leather on that one. I gave it an 8. I thought it was a very pleasant nose. The taste, I got a lot of herbs. I thought this was really herbal. Some dark chocolate with a hint of roasted pecans. And I also gave it an 8 on that one. And the finish, I thought it was a fairly long finish. Started out a little sweet, ended with a little black pepper. I gave that an 8 as well. Total of 31.
Okay. Greg?
That's wild. So, Steve, what in the world's happened, man? All these notes that you're getting, I don't remember that in the first few episodes, but it's like you... I know Larry had you here more than me.
Yeah.
Which I'm a little jealous, but... But he said I'm the ugliest one, but my palate's the best. You know, so. Yeah. Uh-huh. But... Everybody. Yeah. Now, I will say the appearance was kind of like Steve said, between 7 and 8, I gave it an 8, but the nose I thought was pretty decent. I gave it an 8. I gave the taste an 8. I thought it was pretty solid bourbon all across, but then at the finish, this is where I don't know what you're talking about. That the finish to me, for the proof, it seemed like it's, you know, for a higher proof, that thing was weak. It like kind of dropped off pretty quick to me.
To my defense, I couldn't read what I wrote for the finish.
Oh,
is that what I couldn't tell if that was a 7 or. So, to my defense, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty bad finish to me. Yeah. It was the worst one of this bunch. So I'll leave it at that. But yeah, it was pretty weak to me.
So what was your total?
My total would have been 24, 29.
29. Mike?
Okay. I thought it had a nice color in the glass. I thought it looked really nice. It was. You know, just had a nice appearance. I gave it a 7 on the appearance. On the nose, I got roasted nuts and blackberries. And I gave it a 6 on the nose. It wasn't real bold, but it was pleasant. And on the taste, I thought it had a very bold. It was very bold on the palate. It was a little spicy. I got a little cinnamon, some cloves, and I thought it was peppery towards the end on the palate. I gave it a 9. And the finish, I also gave a 9 because I thought, in my opinion, it was long and bold and peppery and warm. But I know Steve didn't think it had a very long finish, but man, I thought the finish was fantastic.
That was great. Steve thought it had a long finish.
Yeah, I did too. I thought it had a long finish. I thought it was bold and peppery. And it was a warm, it kind of made you feel warm all the way down. I came up with a total of 31.
Yeah.
Well, quick question, Larry, before you go, because I'm curious what you're going to say, but when you're saying finish, mm-hmm. like Steve was just asking me, because he had a little bit left and I just tried it again. It lingers a little bit on the back tongue, but man, it nothing through the throat into the stomach whatsoever. Nothing. I mean, it just like dropped off of the back of my tongue.
I didn't get that. It lasted a little while for me.
Right there.
Yeah. Right there. I had nothing go down my throat at all.
You can see this. This was a thing,
maybe you hit blockage.
Right, well, you know. Well, I was going to say it might be the China virus I recovered from here a little bit ago. But That can't be because some of these other ones had a hell of a nice smell. Yeah. So it ain't the China virus.
Okay. Now, again, I had this about a week ago, and I'm kind of on the same page with Mike. The appearance, again, in a Glencairn, you hold it up to the light. I thought the appearance was great. I gave it a 9. I thought the nose was phenomenal. I gave that a 10. I gave the taste a 10 or 9, and I gave the finish a 9.
Really?
Yeah. I thought the finish was great. It. And again, this is after drinking 4 ounces. I didn't review this after 3 sips.
Yeah.
I reviewed it after drinking 4 ounces. Mm-hmm. And it's just a total different ball game when you drink 4 ounces, and then because it goes along, it just keeps getting better and better for me. This is Laws 4-grain bourbon, cask strength. It's 114.4 proof, and it's 3 years or more. So relatively young for a high proof whiskey, but it hit all the right buttons with me. Mm-hmm. So
what was your total score on it?
37.
37. Wow.
No, I mean, I just.
What was yours, Greg?
29. Yeah. And to me, I've drank a lot of high proof bourbons, and it tasted good. It just, the finish, man, that, was like.
It didn't hit me at 114.
Yeah.
On the proof. It really didn't.
I thought it was a smooth 114.
Yeah, for 114, I think, yeah, it's very smooth.
Yeah.
Yes.
So. Okay. How about Greg number 2?
Okay, number 2, the appearance was a little bit lighter than the other one, so I dropped it down to a 7. The nose I thought was phenomenal. I gave it a 9. I'm not sure what I was smelling there, but it was very pleasant. The taste, I gave it an 8 like I did the last one. They're both solid bourbons, no doubt. The finish, I scored it up higher than the 5 on the last one, but it was like it started off good as a finish. It hung around, and then it kind of like dropped off, so I gave it a 7.
So. What's your
total? Definitely better than the first one.
Yeah.
The first one was nothing down the hatch whatsoever. But so this
what's
one,
your total on that one?
Total would be 15 plus. You're making me do math. Get your calculator out, Steve. 17 and 14 would be what? 31.
31. Okay. All right.
Is that what you had? 31? Did you have 31?
Okay, Mike.
Okay, I thought it was a little bit lower on viscosity. It didn't stick to the side of the glass as much. It was a little bit lighter in color, but I still gave it a 7. On the nose, I got some fresh fruit. I thought it was a very bold nose. I mean, it was definitely, I got a real strong sense of fresh fruit and it's slightly floral. So I gave it a 9 on the nose because I thought the nose is very pleasant. I think it's because of the fresh fruit and the floral combined. Maybe did that for me. On the taste, I thought it was a little bit oaky, which I like. And I got a little bit of maybe a licorice, a real slight hint of licorice and some caramel. But overall, the taste I thought was very nice. I gave it a 9. And on the finish, it was a longer finish. It was warm, and it was bold. It had a very bold finish. I gave it an 8. So I came up with a score of 33.
Okay. Now, this one here, this is Journeyman Corsets, Whips, and Whiskey. It's 117 proof. There's no age statement on the bottle, so I didn't bother going to the internet or anything.
What was the proof?
117.
As Journeyman what?
Corsets, Whips, and Whiskey.
Whiskey
of the Year a couple years ago.
I thought,
according to Fred Minnick.
Yeah. I thought the appearance was great. Again, now, my viscosity was better on the Glencairn than you're getting on the Ploiesti, because hardly anything sticks at Ploiesti.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I gave an appearance of 10. I gave the nose an 8. I mean, I really liked the nose, but I liked the nose on the one before the Laws better. Mm-hmm. I gave it a 9 on the taste, and I gave it an 8 on the finish for a total of 35. So, and so Mike, while we're talking to you, you start on the next one, number 3.
Okay. On the appearance on this one, I thought it had a really nice color. It just looked great in the glass. I gave it an 8. On the nose, I detected, and this was immediate for me. I picked up immediately on these two things, ripe cherries and bubble gum. It was just, and I didn't really, I gave it some time, smelled it again. I really didn't pick up anything else because those two things were so bold. I gave it a 10 on the nose because I thought it smelled really, really nice. On the taste, it had a bold flavor. There again, I got ripe cherries and bubble gum on the front of the palate. And towards the back, and later on, I got a little bit of pepper out of it. Kind of, you know, spicy, peppery. I gave it a 9 on the palate or the taste. And I thought it had a long, pleasant finish. It was just... I just was good all the way around. I gave it a 10 on the finish.
Okay.
So I came up with 37 for a total.
Okay. Greg?
Yeah, it had a very good appearance. I gave it an 8. It was nice and dark. Had a very good color to it. The nose, I thought was subtle, but it was good. It didn't pop at me like it did Mike, but it was good. Definitely hints of cherry. But it was, to me, it was like a weak and a subtle. It was like hard to really pick it up. I had to like really deep sniff. The taste was phenomenal. Best one of the bunch tonight. I gave it a 9. And the finish, kind of like the last one, kind of hung around pretty decent, but then it dropped off kind of quick. It didn't keep the fire down below. So I gave it a 7 as well.
Total?
Total would be 31.
31. Okay, Steve?
Yeah, I gave it an appearance of a 9. I thought it was a nice, dark, good-looking whiskey. Like Mike, for my first smell, I thought, man, bubblicious, bubble gum right there. And then after a little bit, there come the cherries. And then later, the bubblicious kind of disappeared. It was cherry, cherry, cherry. So I gave it a 9 for that as well. Taste, I thought it was fantastic. Nuts, ripe cherries. I think for some reason I got Honey Nut Cheerios when I tasted it. I gave it a 9 there as well. And then I thought the finish was nice and complex and long. I got cloves, coffee, mint, a lot going on in that one. So I gave that a 9 as well.
Total?
36.
Okay. Now, this is going to shock everybody because to me, this is one of the most underrated bourbons around. It's Old Forester 1897, bottle and bond. I gave it a 10 for appearance, 8 on the nose, 8 on the taste, 6 on the finish, because the more I drank of the Old Forester, the lighter the finish was.
Yeah.
3 I thought was really... It has a good, strong finish there. Mm-hmm. But by the time I had 4 ounces, it kind of disappeared. Mm-hmm. So I gave it a 6 on the finish, total 30.
Well, and something you got to remember, too, is like, you know, when we're grading this stuff, as far as I'm grading it, it's on everything I've ever had, not just what's here. You know, I mean... Steve can't afford good whiskey, so
anyway.
He ain't had some of the good stuff I've had, but you know, but
well, see,
you know, you gotta kind of remember that too. Like, yeah. You gotta kind of go back in time to like Man, I've had some finishes that were like phenomenal. Yeah. And, you know.
See, but I do it different. It's what I'm tasting today. If I like it, I don't care what I had in the past.
What you had prior.
It just doesn't make any difference to me.
What was your total on that one, Barry?
32.
32.
Okay. And I mean, I just think, you know, nobody ever says, yeah, I just bought a bottle of Old Forester 1897, and it's really great. Because a lot of times the Old Forester 1897 sits on the shelf, mm-hmm. and the 1920s go out, the cheaper stuff yep. goes out. Oh, yeah. At 1910, mm-hmm. I think 1897... I put that right with him.
Yeah, 1920. What's that one run? A bottle?
I don't. Steve, what's that? I don't.
Roughly.
Remember.
It's 40s, higher 40s.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a bargain, and it's only 100 proof, but it tastes more. It tastes like it's about 110 proof, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So, and it's again. I don't know that I've ever had any Old Forester that I didn't like. Even mm-hmm. the really cheap stuff, I think is good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's hard to beat.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
Was there an age statement on that one?
Well, it's got to be at least 4 years.
Yeah, probably bonds for at least four. And it's at least four years. So it... Could be 5 years, could be 4 years, 6 months, but yeah, spot on bond. Okay. So, okay, Steve, how about the last one?
All right. I thought this was a good-looking whiskey, too. I gave it an 8. It's got little legs going up and down the sides. It's dark. I thought it was good. Initially on the nose, I didn't get to pick up a whole lot. Some ripe bananas, definitely sweet. I thought I tasted maybe some wine, like was finished in a wine barrel. I don't know, but it's winey. And then taste, I give it a 7 for the nose. Taste, I got black licorice, cloves, and then honey, sweetness. I give it a 7 there as well. And then I thought I had a medium finish.
Mm-hmm.
Started out nice and sweet. Not a whole lot on going back on the throat or anything. Gave it a 7 there as well for a total of 29.
29. Okay, great.
Yeah, appearance to me, that was the best one we had. I gave it a 9. The nose was an 8. It smelled pretty good to me. I don't think it was a finished one because I don't care for finished stuff. I gave the taste an 8, so I'll be very shocked if this is some finished bourbon. But the finish to me was an 8, the best one of the night. That's what I had. I gave it a total of 33. Actually, it was the best one of the night total.
Okay. Yeah. Mike?
Okay. On the appearance, I thought it looked very nice in the glass. It was a little bit lighter than the last one, and I thought the viscosity might have been a little bit lower. But there again, like you said, it's kind of hard to tell with a plastic glass versus Glencairn. But I gave it an 8 on the appearance. On the nose, I got a little bit of a tropical fruit smell, maybe, with a little bit of floral mixed in. And I thought then the longer I smelled it, I kind of got a little bit of banana, maybe a ripe banana, and buttery. I got like a sweet buttery smell.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave the finish a 9 because I thought it was very pleasant. On the taste,
it was... You mean the palate?
Palate.
Yeah.
Palate. Okay. I thought it was peppery and bold. And I got a little bit of green oak and cloves, maybe. Just a hint of cloves, at least in my opinion. But I really, really like the taste on this one. I gave it a 10. And the finish, I thought, was a long finish. It was pleasant. To me, it didn't drop off immediately. It didn't change. It just kind of stayed. I gave it a 9, and I came up with a total of 36 on this one.
Okay. This one here, I think the problem with me on this one was the day before I had Parker's Reserve Rye. This is New Riff Rye. bottled in bond, 100 proof, at least 4 years. And I thought the appearance was good. I gave it an 8. I thought the nose was, again, I still had that Parker's Reserve rye in my head, I think from the day before. I gave the nose a 7, the taste a 7, and again, I drank 4 ounces, and the finish started dissipating after about the 4th taste. It just started getting real kind of weak. So I gave that a 6. So I only come up with 28 on the new riff. If I would have stopped it, if I was stopped at 3 tastings of it, it would have probably been 4 or 5 points higher. Mm-hmm. But it started losing it for me.
It was 100 proof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just started losing it. So, but I mean, everybody else, what was your score on that?
36.
36, and yours was 33.
29.
29, yeah. So,
and yours is what?
I'm the low man on the totem pole. 28. Yeah. And again, but I really do think it's because I have, to me, Parker's Reserve is one of the best ryes I've ever had. And it's, I had that the day before, and I probably should have never tested this one the day after that. I should have had a bourbon or something in between.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, it's pretty. Pretty good stuff. And, you know, we got a little time to kill. How about guns? What's your favorite gun?
AK-47, man.
How about in the pistols?
Pistol, definitely the most gorgeous gun and, you know, big boy caliber, 1911, all day long. Colt 1911.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Revolver.
I would go with I'd probably go with if I could get one, I would probably buy a 44 mag Ruger Red Hawk. I don't really care for the Black Hawk because it's more cowboy.
I got a Ruger Super Red Hawk.
Yeah,
that's a neat gun.
Yeah, they're probably the strongest 44 out there too. I think. I mean, a Colt Anaconda might be close.
I've got an Anaconda.
It's really nice.
The trigger action's much better.
Yeah.
It's,
I'm just saying stronger as frame-wise and stuff. Yeah.
It's a bull.
Yeah.
It's a bull.
Yep.
Mike, how about you?
Well, I kind of go with Greg. I like my 1911. I've got a Kimber 1911. Really like it. I've also got a Sig Sauer 9mm that I really like. Revolver wise, I think my favorite is probably, I've got a Ruger, single 7 and 327 Magnum. Really like it.
327, never fired 327.
And I'll have to bring it over sometime. It's pretty snappy.
Is it?
Yeah.
I like the 357s. How about rifle?
I think rifle wise, well, I've got a couple, but I've got a Winchester Model 61. Pump action that I really like. Mm-hmm. And then I've got a Savage Model 12 and 223 that I take out west for prairie dog hunting. And that's a fantastic weapon.
Yeah.
Well, Larry, let's kind of elaborate a little bit, though. Like, it depends on what you're using it for, right?
If you're
going to go hunt animals, you know, Or if shit's hitting the fan, you know, literally, what gun would you have? So I mean, there's a difference.
Oh,
there really
sure.
Is.
Oh yeah.
But I'm talking about just not hunting, just shooting, target shooting.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about if you just said if you could only have one rifle, if you'd only own one rifle, maybe?
That'd be a cold day in hell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm right there with you.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Steve, how about you?
I've always been partial to the Red Ryder BB gun. We'll just leave it at that. I was afraid I'm going to shoot my eye out, though.
Yeah. What about with the pistol? What would you shoot off?
Well, I would say for me, my favorite cartridge for rifles 308, and I've got several, but the Ruger marksman, the designated marksman rifle, is just, it's a bench gun. Mm-hmm. It is so good. It's unbelievable. But then for sentimental reasons, I like an M1 too, that I've got mm-hmm. a couple of those.
Yeah.
When you get into the pistol, I'm a 1911 guy, but I've got, I think, seven 1911s.
Really?
Yeah. Nice. And the Wilson Combat is, there's just nothing like it. I mean, there may be something like, they're very expensive, mm-hmm. but the reset, the sights, the balance, the action is just great.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that about Wilson Combat. Yeah.
In fact, I took a old Beretta 82FS 9mm. I probably bought it in 1980 or 81. And I sent it to Wilson to him redo it. Not only the inner works, but they did a custom gold finish on it, gold bronze, I should say. It's really, really a neat gun. And I later bought a Wilson Combat Brigadier, which is the 92FS with the Wilson Touch on it. And I can't tell the difference in either one. I mean, they're that good.
Mm-hmm.
And the revolver is my best one is the Korth. And that's a German-made revolver. It's 357 Magnum. You push a button and you can drop in a 9mm cylinder. And no change to the barrel or anything. It's got a phenomenal trigger, like you're looking at the average revolver on double actions, probably 7 to 8 pounds. And without making an adjustment on the Korth, it's 3.5 pounds.
No, double action?
Double action.
Oh, wow.
I mean, there's wow. nothing quite like it.
Yeah.
And, but there's nothing quite like the price either.
Yeah. So. Sure. Well, what's sure the name not. Of that?
Uh-huh.
What's the name?
Korth, K-O-R-T-H. It took me 5 years to get one.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, they're really, really hard to come by. And when Indiana Gun Club got one in, they called me and they said, if you want it, it's here. And they actually discounted it $500 for me. So.
Really? Nice.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
So being a fellow vet, Larry, I got to ask you, man, if you could go into battle with an AK-47 or a M16, which one would you choose?
Well, I know you like the AK, but I would definitely take an AR-15.
Would you really?
Yeah. I mean, they're just so accurate. And you know what?
Well, accuracy, I mean, if you're, to me, that's sniping.
Well,
if you're in shit hits the fan battle, I want a gun that don't jam. And I know every time we qualified, it seemed like there's somebody else's gun jamming up.
Well, I've never hit an AR-15 jam on me, but Reed Meyer was a Marine. And he said the best thing about being in Afghanistan is knowing that your enemy had an AK-47.
Well, yeah. You know who to shoot.
He says, when they're shooting from a distance, they can't hit anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. anyway, you know, it's...
But the whole story goes, man, that you could take that AR-15/M16 and throw it out in the swamp.
Oh.
And you could throw that AK-47 out there and let them both sit out there for a week. And I guarantee which one's going to shoot which one ain't.
Well, you know what? I've got seven Glocks, and I hate every one of them. And I don't care if you can bury them in mud, because I don't bury guns in mud.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But a Glock, no matter which model it is, I've got 9 millimeters, 45, I got 40. Mm-hmm. If I shot two magazines of 19 rounds Glock, I can guarantee if I didn't wear a hat, because it happened to me before, in two magazines, I'll have three ejections hit me in the middle of the forehead. Mm. And they just, everybody else, the ejections go to the right. A Glock, they just go every which way. Most of the time, it's straight back at you. So yeah. I have no use for them. They're easy maintenance. It'd be a good for, you know, your average person for defense. It's 17 to 21 feet away if you're in a life-threatening situation. Mm-hmm. But as far as just shooting, sights aren't any good. Trigger's awful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The grip's not very good.
What's your favorite cheap gun?
Oh, Berettas. You get a.
Not just handgun. I'm just talking about period.
Probably Savage. Savage makes a remarkable gun. I mean, at 200 yards, I think the first 308 that I bought was a Savage with a cheap Weaver scope on it. I zeroed that in. I was hitting 4-inch steel at 200 yards. Nice. So, I mean, it's...
I got to give my props off, not to their handguns, because they are the ugliest damn things I've ever seen, High Point, but their carbines...
Yeah.
And their customer service. So I've got a 45 carbine and I got a 9mm carbines. And the 45, for some reason, the trigger was messed up right out of the gate. As soon as I pulled the trigger, there's two pieces of metal that's supposed to line up, and one pushes the other one. And I could clearly see what was happening. They were bypassing each other. The trigger was stuck.
Yeah.
And the guy told me when I called him, he said, yeah, actually the 9mm trigger on them are built better than the 45 one for whatever stupid reason. But man, I sent it back. They fixed it, no charge, sent it back to me.
Yeah.
And for the price, for what it is, wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, Springfield also makes really good pistols that are remarkably inexpensive for what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a lot of Springfields, and obviously they make the civilian M1. I've got two M1s. They're fun to shoot, and I just can't bring myself to put a scope on an M1. But at my age and my eyesight at 200 yards, I'm not too good.
It all looks the same, don't it?
Well, I'm not too good on the 4-inch targets anymore, but I can hit the 8 and 10s pretty well.
Yeah.
So, but anyway,
open sights, you know, something that distance, it is amazing. Like, it's like everything kind of like lining up with my sight way out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, if you got a good scope and
I'm talking about iron sights.
Open sights. Well,
like
the nice
that far.
The nice thing on the M1, it's an easy adjustment. I mean, the sights, they're good. It's just the guy behind the sight is not so good anymore.
A friend of mine has an M1, and I got to shoot it last year.
Yeah.
And it's a very nice gun.
Well, here, this here, well, our audience can't see this, but on my bookmarks, that's an M1 SOCOM. That's a short M1, and the flame that puts out, as you can see there, is just unbelievable.
Oh,
yeah.
So,
nice.
But that's the short one.
I tell you, another one puts out good flames. Mosin.
That's what?
Mosin.
7.62x54.
I got two Chinese versions of that, and I don't have the Russian. They're longer. This one's more of a carbine. Mm-hmm. And man, it puts out a hell of a flame.
Well, that's what. So I was given a shooting class to a group of women one time, and she said, "My husband said."
Was Steve there too?
No, his Red Ryder was in the shop. But anyway, this woman said, my husband mentioned for home protection, maybe a 22 Magnum for me. And I said, well, there's only one problem. I said, when you shoot it once, the flame and smoke that comes out of that inside a house, you're not going to see anybody.
To mention the stinging of your ears.
Oh, exactly.
We had a little, I got my son a little handgun, a little dinky thing. I'm trying to remember if it was a Davis or something, some cheap thing. 22, it wasn't a Magnum, it was just a 22 long rifle, and that thing would kill your ears. I mean, I'd never wear hearing protection, you know, just go out and shoot it out back. You wouldn't think that little gun, the little 22, would be that loud. It was just so high-pitched, it was like, oh, my God.
How long is the barrel?
Oh, it's a little short thing.
I wouldn't think a 22
would be that damn loud, man. And
any short barrel, you're going to get something like that. I've got a 357 with a 2-inch barrel, and that's just insane.
You ever seen those 4570 Derringers?
No.
They're look that up on YouTube, type in 4570 Derringer and watch. It's a father and son that shoot that damn thing. And man, it's not, they got hearing protection on, but it's hurting their freaking wrists and their hand, man. He's like, oh my God, I cannot believe the power that thing's got.
I've got one gun that I hate and I wouldn't sell it to my worst enemy. It's called a double tap. And when I won this. I didn't buy it, but I won it at a FOP raffle. So when I first got it, it fits in the palm of your hand. It's a 9mm. The barrel breaks down. It's 2-shot, and you can hold two or more cartridges in the handle. It's right underneath where you would normally put a magazine in. There's a little trap door, and you put 2 9mm in there. So when I got it, I thought, well, this is really kind of nice. And I looked at it, and I thought, you know, it's all steel. I've said, I bet this thing's got some recoil. Well, I shot 4 rounds of it, and if I was in a life-threatening situation, I might take a bullet before I reload it.
Wait, shit it again.
It hurts your hand so bad. And I thought, maybe it's just me. I went on YouTube, and these 200-300-pound brothers hid this at the range. Mm-hmm. And I thought the one was going to cry. I mean, he had this big meat hook hand. It was so red from shooting that. And he didn't tell his brother. And he says, come here, I got something for you to shoot. So, I mean, it is the most god-awful gun I've ever seen in my life. And I thought, geez, I hope they don't make a 45 like this. Oh, yeah.
Well, that 4570, that father and son, he pulled that same kind of trick on his son. He gave it to him after he'd shot it, you know. And he's like, oh, my God. You know, and his son went to shoot it, and he pull the trigger, click. He was anticipating, man. He was.
Yeah. Well, there's some neat guns. And unfortunately, I've got arthritis in both hands now, but my trigger finger still works. Yeah, so
that's nice.
That's enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, see, the only problem is sometimes I get up and I can't even make a fist anymore. It's just it came out within the past year. That's age creeping in.
Yeah.
And then I got something they call trigger finger because my one finger locks up on me all the time. Mm-hmm. So,
yep.
The doctor told me to tape 2 fingers together, and I thought, no, it's kind of weird to me. Yeah. What good's your hand if you got 2 middle fingers taped together? Yeah. So, well, anyway, it's about time to call it a day. Any words of wisdom for anybody before we shut it down?
Well, I'd say that any whiskey you try, if you don't like it on the first couple sips, take a breather and give it another sip or two, then check the nose again because it changes.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know why, but the deeper you get into drinking, especially if it's 4 ounces, the nose changes as much as the palate and the finish. So, anything from you guys, Greg?
The only advice I'd give is definitely give Fry Rance a look at, and then Old Forester Bald and Bond. I mean, at
1897.
Out of all these 8 that we tried tonight, yeah, if I was going to go buy 2 of them, that's the 2 I'd buy.
Yeah, yeah.
Fry Ranch in 1897.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here, Greg. I think so, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Steve?
My only advice is if you want to get into bourbon, stop up at the store. I'll get you set the right way.
Yeah. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah. You haven't scared me wrong yet, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, Steve's at Batesville Liquor Store, and there's always, if you're in doubt, usually you have a sample somebody can try before.
Yep.
And which is really nice.
And we need to give props to Horse Soldier. Barrel Strength Horse Soldier. Wow.
That's good stuff.
Phenomenal.
Good stuff. I don't like their, 86 proof?
Yeah,
it's just nothing there for me. But I'll tell you what, that barrel strength is really, really good.
You guys have some of that left?
We got like 6 different proofs there while we're...
You guys, because that sold out that night.
Yeah,
that,
yeah, we got another case in.
Yeah, another case in.
It's signed, too.
Yeah. So. Okay. I bought it 2 days before.
Yeah.
I knew it would be crowded. I just didn't know how crowded. Yeah, but yeah. There was over 100 people there.
Oh, yeah. It's a good time. A lot of veterans, a lot of good stories.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good drinks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. So, okay, well, let's kind of wrap things up for now. We'll play a little Star Spangled Banner here. And want to thank everybody for listening. I hope to talk to you on the next podcast. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.